Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, and welcome to Indie Streak. My name is Rachel Galvin, and as you know, I interview film industry professionals on this show. If you've missed any of my shows, you can go back to the archives and listen in. Well, today I'm going to be interviewing actor and celebrity bodyguard Mark Behar, and I think I have him on the line. Let me check here. Mark, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Hi.
But,
you know, I see that you've been really busy on the set on a lot of different things lately, and that you were a personal bodyguard for Sacha Baron Cohen on The Dictator.
Yep.
How did that happen?
I've known him for a while now, before he got popular. And as he grew, and he's been doing some great films. Because he sort of kind of has an Israeli background and look, and he speaks Hebrew and Arabic and all that, it's a perfect fit for me to be with him on set while he's shooting, let's say, in New York or Florida. And we get along. Yeah, and we get along well, and it's funny. Half the time, people don't know what we're talking about at all. And a lot of people are actually scared of him because he does look sort of kind of like a terrorist to a point. So you get him and I speaking, and it's like, okay, what are they plotting? Meanwhile,
yeah,
we're just
laughing. Like the movie.
Yeah. So
what was it like being on the set?
It was real easy. I learned a lot about what goes on as I'm still learning and breaking into this field, and it was just easy. I mean, it's easy to work with him when you know sort of kind of his gestures, and when you speak in Hebrew, Arabic, and all, sort of kind of you could hear all the oohs and ahs that
right.
he might not want some people to know or hear. So to me, it was easy and fun. So I liked it.
And this is not your first, you know, time doing a bodyguarding. You've been doing this for quite a while. How did you get into being a celebrity bodyguard?
Believe it or not, I used to work for a wrestling group years and years back, and they used to have a lot of people come backstage at celebrity-wise, and they had guest people there. And working backstage, of course, you were asked, hey, you know, are you going to be in town another few days? I might need you, blah, blah, blah. And just one thing went to another another, and you just grew your, you know, a clientele, and you did a good job. You weren't out for the fame and a publicity and sign me this and sign me that, and they respect you more, and that's how it got going.
That's really important for people to know that. You know, if you're around celebrities, they don't want you to be hounding them for autographs all the time, right?
Right, and that's how a lot of them are, or they really act out the role of bodyguard. I mean, you know, earpiece in ear, either looking like a gangster or just sticking out. And this day and age, it's more sort of kind of like a Secret Service type of a thing where you're not supposed to look your part, but you're supposed to observe more. And for all they know, the people know you might be their friend, brother, boyfriend, family member, not bodyguard that's actually going, you know, and watching their life and, you know, and watching you. So.
Right. Yeah. And how did this, I know this kind of led you into the film world yourself, so tell me a little bit about that.
I was asked by the director of Scrubs for so many years, that if I ever wanted to do a guest starring role, or not a guest starring role, like a walk-on role or something small, right, to go and call them, and actually not knowing that it was going to be their last season, I called them. I said, well, I'm going to be in California at this time. And they're like, well, you're really pushing it because we're actually filming our next-to-last show. And I went there, they put me in, and I never thought I would be playing a role of a doctor. And next thing I know, things just happen from there, like small parts and pieces and walk-on roles. And then I did a Kardashian thing, a charity boxing show. And really that opened up the door a bit more. So And
what was it like being on a reality show versus, you know, some of the other mainstream acting things that you've been on the set? What was the difference?
What was the difference? Just like anybody, you sort of kind of think and hope it's actually real and reality-wise,
mm-hmm.
when in essence it's cameras and I wouldn't say it's scripted, but
right.
when you see the final product, it's like, whoa, the reality is sort of kind of like a person with a camera shooting something and that's what you show. This is sort of kind of, well, yeah, that's it, but we'll chop it down and cut and paste here. And you'll get a product that's reality 15%, substance 45%, and then the rest
mm-hmm.
is, well, you know, entertainment value.
It all comes down to the editing, you know, the way that
yeah.
they shoot certain things.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Were there any celebrities that you've worked with? You've worked with a lot of different people. Were there any celebrities that you were really surprised, like, wow, you know, I didn't realize they were so nice or... You know, anything like that that you found surprising?
Actually, the older ones, the old school guys.
Mm-hmm.
Dustin Hoffman, Samuel L. Jackson, Morgan Freeman. I mean, those guys are so laid back, so nice, so proper. You don't have to worry about things that you have to worry about this day and age in regards to drinking, partying, drugs, blah, blah, blah. they hire you... They like you, they listen to you, and like I said, they come from the old school type of, you know, a generation where they're like a sincere person, they do their job, they do it the best, and it just comes from years and years of learning and doing, rehearsing, and this day and age, I think it's more of like shock, meaning like if you get a show, a reality show or any show, you blow up so fast that basically you're known for your, you know, a catchphrase, you're known for being crazy, and that's what you take and you run with it, a.k.a., let's say, like, you know, a Jersey Shore.
Right.
I mean, it's a bunch of kids at a beach house drinking and getting crazy. Hello, I did that for 8 years when I lived in Jersey. I never got my show.
And you have a film crew. Come on.
Exactly. I never got a film, you know, show or a, you know, a contract, and all my drinks I had to pay for. So, but yeah.
And you've done a lot of security on the set too. Tell us a little bit about your security background and what you have been able to do on the set that a lot of filmmakers maybe don't know about to do.
When a movie gets shot, I've learned there's so many different departments and people in charge of certain things. And with most of the sets and locations I'm seeing now, they'll hire like a security firm. They'll ask for a bunch of guys to watch a front gate, a parking lot, sort of kind of a set. And basically, that's what it is. You're paying a person a few bucks an hour to basically be a body that somebody might have to go and pass through. But really no experience and no concept of if something happens, meaning you can get anybody to go on a set. Just like, take for example, the people that got into the president's dinner.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even that with high a security like that, you have one person that doesn't do their job the right way, and you can get as far in as that. So with me, they hire me for sort of kind of like multiple levels. They want to set up a perimeter, let's say, on a set for security, certain places you can go into, certain places you can't. So they need more of a, I wouldn't say a uniform, but more of a fail-safe type where you're only authorized here at this time. You're there's a certain badge, a certain code, a certain
right.
a certain person you got to see. So that's
so
why they call me.
More tiers of access, like more everybody has certain areas that they can go into or they can't go into, that kind of thing.
Right, right. I mean, it's done in a way where it's very rare that you're able to go and break through, let's say, a set, a line, and all this, because a lot of the codes, a lot of the badges are not gone and given out until that same day. So it's very hard to forge, very hard to know a name, a stamp, a color, a wristband, a ribbon.
Right.
Where on most sets, they basically have it for the whole movie, and they set it up such in advance where an employee that gets fired, they can basically, you know, they could tell a friend, hey, if you want to get into that set, just wear blue.
Right.
So.
You've also worked with weapons as well. You were also worked in law enforcement.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
They hire me a lot of times to explain to them or show them what a weapon can do and can't do, how certain weapons are used. There are experts for it. There are ballistic people for it. But it takes time, it takes money, and basically they're looking for the latest and greatest and what it would do. They really don't need a ballistics thing. They're not doing a Miami CSI actual, you know, crime scene. They just know that, well, if you stab a person this way, it's going to make a wound like that. If you stab a person with this knife, it's going to make a cut like that. If you shoot a weapon this way, most people that know weapons are going to say, well, that's real or that's fake based upon how the weapon is being shot. So they call me in for the basics of that.
And do you also secure weapons on the set, if there's weapons on the set, those type of things?
That actually they have cops for, because handling weapons is sort of kind of very, you know, is very touchy. And even though they're fake, I wouldn't want the responsibility. And I think they've learned a lot better where they'll get a guy that has a concealed license or that works for the city or county. They'll hire him for like a part-time basis, off shift, for him to take care of that. Because if you walk out to get a hamburger and you're still carrying your weapon, nobody knows this. And you don't want to get shot for a burger. So.
Exactly. And you've done, because of all the different things that you're doing, you also get invited to a lot of big events, like the Grammy Awards and MTV Music Awards and the ESPYs and you name it, you've been to it. What's been your favorite show to attend and why?
Favorite show to attend and why? Believe it or not, Spike TV has an award show every year. The Scream Awards is sort of kind of like a sci-fi show, and all of the crazies come out. It's like a Halloween night, and they put together a very good show. It's very laid back, entertaining. You never know who. The genre is from teenagers to anybody in their 60s. So it's sort of kind of like a Mardi Gras type of a feeling. It's not your everyday float and parade, you know, type thing. There's a little bit of spice to it. Other shows that have been good, of course, the Grammys. That's pretty good. And there's just award shows here and there that each year they go and surprise you. And unfortunately, the last few years, so many people have passed before, you know, right before these shows happen. But they do put together a very good show, a ceremony, a type of a show as a tribute to those people that passed. Like when Michael Jackson passed, BET were having their award show, I think, that weekend. And they scrambled around to redo the whole thing. And it was such a good show. And Whitney Houston passed, the same thing.
Yeah, what was that like with Whitney Houston, since they had to change that so last minute? What did you witness when you were there? Was everyone kind of in shock? Or?
Everyone was in shock, but I think everybody knew that something someday was going to happen. It's just, you see these people, and, I mean, the layman, they hear what they hear on TV, on TMZ, on Entertainment Tonight, in the paper, and you're only getting like 1% of what happened that whole week. And but then there's the things where they've already been drunk at clubs and they haven't attended this and had to go and sign out of this role or this show. But the shows, the award shows are very good. They're very good with last-minute things. I got to give them that. They will change something in fact, the same day. So mm-hmm. that just comes from years and years and years of putting on shows. So, I mean, they're very good. Whitney Houston was sort of kind of a shock because that weekend she had to do so many things. And, like, that was really unexpected. I mean, the mm-hmm. Michael Jackson thing, okay. I mean, it was hot in, like, the paper at that time, but Whitney sort of kind of came from left field. No one expected it at that point, at that time.
Because you were actually staying at the same hotel where everything went down. You were right there.
Yeah, in a weird way. I knew Whitney when she used to live in Jersey, in Newark. And mm-hmm. this goes back years and years and years. And I saw her the day before last, the day before she passed. And, you know, she was getting older, and you can tell the wear and tear of all those years were there. But still a nice person. She had her wine just like me. And nobody thought the next day. I mean, she was on the fourth floor, I think. I was on the seventh. And mm-hmm. they just shut down the whole hotel. And people actually left the hotel that were attending the award show that weekend just because the publicity was so, so high. And everybody was there. It was like a madhouse. But...
Were you at the party on the roof, too?
Party on the roof, no. I saw her actually in the lobby as she was doing something in one of the ballrooms there. And it was a brief thing because her and I were waiting for the elevator. And that's when we got talking. And she didn't recognize me, but, of course, I recognized her. And then we got talking, and it was like, oh, my God, it's been so many years. I'm like, yeah. So we spoke for about 5 minutes, and then that's it.
Wow.
So, yeah.
It's scary.
Scary and sad.
Do you have any other stories that you want to share about any celebrities that you've worked with or anything else like that?
Let's see. Robin Williams, funny, funny guy. Nice, nice guy. Dustin Hoffman, the same thing, a very family guy. Samuel L. Jackson, when they say that he's always talking loud and he's always screaming, that is true. But that's just his nature and his voice. It's sort of kind of...
powerful.
Yeah, you can see him at a bar and all of a sudden you think security is going to rush there because he's arguing about a drink. And he's just talking about his family. And it's just the funniest thing. But each actor and celebrity has their own quirk. I mean,
right.
They're known for
it.
They're human beings. Yeah, and that's sort of kind of like what makes them shine. That's why they're in the top, top of their field in regards to their roles. And that's why they've been around for so, so long. I mean, Billy Crystal. I mean, these are people where they started acting. I mean, 60s, 70s. I mean, Joan Rivers, she goes back to the Ed Sullivan Show.
Yeah.
And she just had a roast, I think, on Spike. And it was the funniest thing. And Betty White. I mean, these are people that are still funny. They still got the spice. So there's just so many stories about so many people. We'd probably need about 6 shows or 3 hours.
Right.
So.
And you're getting involved now yourself into acting and being on the set of some smaller productions, some independent productions. Different things. Do you have some projects coming up that you want to talk about, that you want to mention, you know, to keep an eye out for?
I'm working on doing a co-starring role in a movie called Blood River. I believe it's with 1980s, 1990s, like a scream queen. And it's a horror. Right. And it's a horror movie about vampires, and we're still working on it, but that actually is going to be a very big role and a big jump in regards to acting, because I've done so much behind the scenes and actually have been on sets now, but more in a capacity of an assistant here, having a role sort of kind of still behind the scenes. The acting part, when I get the roles, it has to be like the right role. I did Walk 'Em Out Guacamole and My Pradas. That was a small role, but it was something that was good. I learned a whole lot, and each one of these roles and movies, it just makes me learn a lot more. And it's a lot more work learning lines and knowing where to sit and step and walk and turn than it is doing, like, you know, bodyguard work and security work, because you get one shot. Well, you get several shots, but if you can't do your part, it most likely it's going to get cut, or it doesn't make you look as good as it is doing your own job that you're hired for as a specialist in regards to something that you do. So, but that's what I'm working on. It's supposed to be in Miami the middle of next month, and we'll see what happens.
Okay. Is there a way that people can find out more about you, a website or IMDb that you want to give, so people, if they want to hire you for their next shoot, you know, how do they get in touch with you?
They can go on my Facebook page. They just have to look under Mark Behar, M-A-R-K-B-E-H-A-R, and on IMDb.com, the same thing. And the information's there, and all the latest and greatest in regards to the movies, roles, projects, so on and so forth.
Great. Okay, Mark. Well, we're kind of running out of time now. So I guess I'll let you go. So thanks for being on the show today.
No problem. Anytime. It's been a pleasure.
Okay. I will talk to you later, and thanks a lot.
Thanks, man.
All right. Bye. Okay. Well, that was Mark Behar. Gave us a little insight into his world. Being a celebrity bodyguard, and he goes to all these different events. I mean, he's always jet-setting around the country. It's unbelievable. He's everywhere doing everything. And that's just the tip of the iceberg, because he's involved in a lot of other things as well that we didn't even touch on. He's had quite a life story, I'll tell you. But I thank you for tuning in today. And as I said, if you've missed any of my other shows, because I'm always interviewing different people, in fact, he mentioned the Walk a Mile in My Pradas, which was produced by Rick, written by, Rick Caritas was part of that project, and I interviewed Rick Caritas, one of my first interviews here on the show, so you can go back and listen to the archives about that. And also all of the other people I've worked with as well, you know, on the show. In addition, please check out my website, www.independentstreak.ning.com. Sometimes I have more stuff up there than others. It's basically a blog. I put some things up there as far as castings, events, things coming up. It's more related to Florida, but I do have stuff elsewhere as well. And also, please go on Facebook and to the Indie Streak site, just like the show here, Indie, I-N-D-I-E, Streak, S-T-R-E-A-K, and please like that page. I'm trying to get as many fans as possible, and the more fans I get, the more I'm going to be posting specialty information that I'm probably not going to have anywhere else, like castings, special things that are coming up, et cetera. Also, I have another show called Basics of the Biz, which is right here on Blog Talk Radio. Just go look up Basics of the Biz. That show is me talking about the acting experience as an actor. I've also done a little bit, you know, behind-the-scenes work as well, producing, et cetera. But that's everything, headshots, resumes, classes, unions, et cetera. So you get a little insight if you're just starting out in the business and you want to know how to break into it. You can find out more on that show. I have a lot of different episodes for that. Did I miss anything? I don't know. But at the end of all of my shows, I try to give a little plug for a bunch of different things that I have out there, where I'm just giving more information about the industry, because that's what this is all about. I just love promoting other people. I love kind of educating people, giving people information that they need, and that's what I do. So. But I thank you for tuning in today. I will be back next weekend, next Sunday, same bat channel, same bat time. Usually it's 1 o'clock. Today it was 1:30. So if you don't have a show at 1, stay tuned, because it might be at 1:30. Okay? But I thank you for tuning in, and I will talk to you guys next week. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.